I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
And to help us, we'll go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and talk to a guy you and I both get a lot of insight from throughout the season as Yahoo Fantasy guys. Yahoo Sports Fantasy writer Scott Pianowski is with us on GND. Scott, thank you for hopping aboard. How are you?
For having me, and no better time than to discuss fantasy football. It is the biggest draft weekend coming, the long holiday weekend, so I'm sure a lot of people are boning up for their leagues. Let's give them some help.
We actually have two drafts coming up for me, and I think two for Danny in the next couple days. We've got our Listener League Fantasy Draft at a pizza spot in town tonight with a bunch of our listeners. So this is a very well-timed segment, very well-timed interview. I actually want to start with Terry McLaurin locally for the Commanders. How much of a fantasy value ding do you give him for the lack of an offseason? Do you anticipate either a pitch count or a slow start to begin the year?
It may be a slow onboarding, but yeah, I've always loved McLaurin's professionalism since he turned pro. And you guys know more than anybody, all we ever wanted was just to see him play with a plus quarterback, and he finally finds it with Jaden Daniels. He would have liked the contract stuff to get resolved sooner. So be realistic with what you expect from McLaurin maybe for the first 2 or 3 weeks, although that theme kind of goes through the NFL, right? So many teams don't use their starters or their primary guys or their primary plays in the preseason. So week 1 and week 2 often become glorified exhibition weeks because the shape of the summer has changed. I still have McLaurin slotted right now, I think wide receiver 13 or 14, so a very high-end wide receiver too, somebody I would probably look for around the fourth round.
Scott, give me the wide receivers, standard PPR format, that you think are first-round worthy draft selections.
A bunch of them. I have 7 you could consider. Jamar Chase probably the 1-1 in most leagues, so I don't need to sell anybody on him. CeeDee Lamb's my number 2 receiver. I think Dallas junks the running game early this season. Let's Dak cook, and that means Lamb's going to catch 100 balls. Justin Jefferson tied to the quarterback whisperer. Kevin O'Connell will eventually get J.J. McCarthy going, although that might be a slow onboard too. They don't have Addison right away, and you don't want to overexpose McCarthy, but we've just seen O'Connell do it with every quarterback he's had. So I don't have any problem with Justin Jefferson. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god in Detroit. I know they lost Ragnow, their center. I know they lost Ben Johnson, their very well-regarded coordinator. He's in Chicago now. But when you have a veteran quarterback, he's basically part of the offensive coordinator infrastructure too. And St. Brown, just a very safe 100, 105, 110 catches. I would take him in the first round. Nico Collins, my number 5 receiver. Houston running game could be a problem. Mixon won't be ready to go. Offensive line was bad, and then they traded their best lineman in Laremy Tunsil. I think Nico Collins might get 170 targets. C.J. Stroud's better than he played last season. Collins belongs in the first round. And then Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and I've flip-flopped them back and forth. Right now I have Thomas 6 and Nabers 7, probably first-rounders. I know some people are a little bit nervous about Thomas because they obviously drafted Hunter, who won the Biletnikoff, he won the Heisman, he won all the trophies last year. He'll play a little bit of defense, but Liam Cohen comes in. He's a coach we respect, much like Ben Johnson. He's somebody we're excited about. He got Baker Mayfield the 41 touchdowns last year. So we don't know if Trevor Lawrence will ever become a star, but if it's going to happen, it's going to happen now. So I think Thomas, who was terrific last year despite bad play around him, belongs in the first round. You can say the same thing about Nabers, right? That quarterback room was not good last year. It should be better. Russell Wilson is still quasi-competent. At some point, Jackson Dart will play. And Nabers is one of those guys. When receivers, you draft them early, you want them targeted off the bus. And all Brian Daboll does every day until he goes to sleep is scheme ways to get Malik Nabers the football. So 160, 165, 170 targets might be in play. So I would be comfortable taking any of those guys in the first round. There's 7 to choose from.
Scott Pianowski is with us of Yahoo Fantasy Sports on Grant and Danny. Let's go back to Jamar Chase at the top of the board. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot on the show about Saquon Barkley this week and this idea of the history that states when you have the type of workload he had last year that you just don't play in more than 10 to 12 games the following season. What do we know historically about receivers that go bonkers? Like Chase going 125 catches, 1,700 yards, 17 touchdowns. I know it's prime of his career, he's 25 years old, all that stuff. But if I'm taking him number 1 overall, can I pencil that back in?
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
thing with Chase, this is the way I feel about any high pick in any fantasy league. I would say this for fantasy baseball. I would say it for fantasy football. I'd say it for any fantasy sport you play. All you want if you draft Chase, I know you want him to smash the league and have all those leading stats, you know, 127, 17, 108, and 17. He led the league in all three categories. It's unrealistic to expect that. But what did he do the previous season? 100 catches, 1,216 yards. Burrow missed time that season. He's tied to an elite quarterback in Burrow. Heisman Trophy winner, MVP candidate. Cincinnati defense is really bad. The passing game is extremely concentrated in Cincinnati. They only really throw the ball to a couple of guys, so that's good. 175 targets last year, age 25 seasons, so Chase presumably in his prime. And although we didn't see this play out last year, where the running backs, other than McCaffrey, for the most part, were incredibly healthy, and they ran pure. You know, Barkley, one of those guys you mentioned, but typically that's an injury position more than a receiver is. They get tackled by the heavier guys on the defense. I do realize there's a shift in the NFL where the defenses are getting lighter. They're more worried about pass defense. That's why the running game has made somewhat of a renaissance. But when I draft Chase, if you told me he's one of the top four receivers in fantasy, I'd be fine with it. Yeah, Lamb could beat him, or Jefferson could beat him, or, I mean, who knows? Maybe Drake London, who I think is an early second-round pick. Maybe he'll have a huge season. He was terrific last year when Michael Penix took over. Remember him in that Washington overtime game. But I just want my first pick to be a foundation. So right now, I would sign up for 105 catches, 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns. I would take that, even though those would all be come down from what he did last season. I also want to mention with the Barkley thing, 482 touches last year, including the playoffs. Didn't have a touchdown from the one-yard line. That's Jalen Hurts' territory. Barkley averaged 29.4 yards per touchdown, an unsustainable rate. I know he's a great player, but I want to be young at that position. I'm taking Bijan Robinson, and I'm probably taking Jahmyr Gibbs over Barkley. And I know that might sound a little bit crazy after the season Barkley had, but that's a position where I really think it's important to have guys on the upswing, guys who are still on the front nine. As great as Barkley is, he's, you know, smack dab in the middle of his career, or maybe even starting that back nine, makes me a little bit nervous.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, getting us ready for your fantasy drafts, talking receivers here on G&D. So if you don't end up with one of the stars in that first round, just kind of the way it falls, thinking Chase, Lamb, you know, maybe Jefferson, and maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown, et cetera, how are you approaching receiver in your drafts? Are you going, you know, maybe premium position, maybe end of round one, round two, in a Bowers? Are you looking running back? Like, if I guess I'm asking kind of twofold. One, how have your drafts kind of shaken out in terms of receiver? And two, where do you think the great value is for folks that may miss out on one of the stars in round one?
So the big thing, the big fork in the road for your listeners is how many receivers do you start? If you start two, or if you start three, it's a major difference in your roster building. If you only start two, I think you need two running backs in the first three or four rounds, because there's just enough good receivers that everybody's going to be pretty good, even if you have a flex position that might add that third receiver. If you have to start at least three receivers, I think it's imperative that you have the best receiver room in your league, because one thing about fantasy football is that running backs, once they inherit opportunity, they can become fantasy factors. Any starting running back gets hurt somewhere, gets traded. You've obviously seen a lot of upheaval this summer in the Washington backfield. It's a little bit complicated right now. That's going to mint somebody for fantasy goodness. Now, if Tyreek Hill decides to walk to earth, doesn't want to play football anymore, that doesn't mean the next man up in Miami is a star. It doesn't work that way. You know, we've seen Kansas City have injuries in their receiver room and have trouble replacing them. So yes, a couple of years ago, Puka Nacua came out of nowhere. He went bananas in week one and he was a waiver wire gold. But for the most part, the receivers you're going to pick up off waivers are going to be depth guys, bye week guys, your wide receiver five, your wide receiver six. You're not going to get the wide receivers who start themselves. So if you start three or more, I would probably, first four picks, probably have a running back and three receivers. If the right running backs fell, maybe two and two, and then my fifth round pick would be a receiver. And there's some really good guys in every round. I mentioned seven guys I thought were first round valuable. Second round, Drake London looks great. Ladd McConkey was a 1,600-yard pace guy for the second half of the season. Even with Allen back, I'm not worried about him. T. Higgins tied to that Cincinnati infrastructure. I'm not as thrilled with Puka Nacua because he doesn't score touchdowns, and they added Davante Adams, who's been put on this earth to score touchdowns, and Matthew Stafford, age 37, back problem. Makes me a little bit concerned. But then we get to the third round, Mike Evans. I mentioned McLaurin maybe as a fourth-round pick, but he may actually be back in the third round now that he's signed and happy and tied to Daniels. Marvin Harrison, you could consider a fourth round, fifth round. Guys like Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, the more of the boring veterans that I think are great wide receiver threes. Cortland Sutton is very underrated with the Broncos. Zay Flowers is always open in Baltimore, a little bit like Jameson Williams. We haven't seen him completely go crazy yet. There's a lot of competition for the ball in Baltimore, but I still think he's a value pick. If George Pickens can accept being the number two in Dallas, he'd be a great wide receiver three. Jameson Williams can score on any play on the field. Xavier Worthy is that type of guy in Kansas City, a boring value in Calvin Ridley, Tennessee. And just one more guy, I realize I'm listening half the league right now. I would have told you a month ago, Juwan Jennings was my guy in San Francisco, but he's had a calf injury. He's unhappy about his contract. I think Ricky Pearsall to get there. Last year, the fact that he did anything after being shot, he actually got some reps in his rookie year. Ayuk's hurt. Obviously, Debo Samuel's in Washington now. I think Ricky Pearsall has a chance to be a breakout player and a key guy to get in your fantasy draft, probably as your third receiver.
Scott, information is very helpful. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Scott.
There you go, your wide receiver preview, Scott Pianowski of Yahoo. We've been doing a different position every single day, so tomorrow we'll get into tight ends right here at 5 o'clock on Grant and Danny. We've got our big draft tonight. In fact, I've got two drafts tonight.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.